grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.14, Eel and Frog Canapes, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
Jess.
165 days. And happy birthday, Theron.
Aww.
And our guest, Shayla.
Hello again.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 21. Harry and Mouse meet Murphy at the convention and find a suspicious individual named Darby Crane almost immediately and decide to check him out. Murphy's interview with Crane escalates very quickly once him and his lawyer, Glau, realize who Harry is.
I just want to really quick roll back to the couple of episodes that Mom missed. Do you remember why there were three sets of blood at the Field Museum?
Three sets? At which time?
Cops found three sets of blood at the Field Museum after Harry relocated a dinosaur.
There would have been his blood. There would have been liver spots blood. Mouse likely left some blood after the snake bites. Butters got his nose busted open and blood all over.
Oh, she does know. Sorry, Rory. Rory in the Discord, we couldn't figure out where the third set of blood came from. We were just guessing, and Rory told us. But I was like, but maybe my mom doesn't know. But she fuck you, Butters.
You.
Stupid broken nose. Whatever.
I bet he wasn't too fond of it either.
Let's move on to this book.
All right. Arr. Harry heads back to the SplatterCon! Exclamation point, exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
I was going to say, you forgot one.
You know what is super funny about that right now? I noticed as I was listening to this chapter that he's now stopped doing that. So you finally throw it in and Marsters is finally, they must be like, okay, they know now.
Or maybe the director was like, you know, you don't have to keep that up.
Maybe he's just like, good fuck the first this. Time. I don't, I'm tired of saying it. Everybody knows now. Just Splattercon. But yeah. Yep.
But he goes equipped with Mouse and his wizard goodliness and his gun. You know, that's the first thing you need to take to a place.
Shit.
As discussed, though, it's in his backpack, not on him, which is good for later, bro.
But once again, you're how far into this? Like, not just the big cases since Stormfront, but the whole PI gig? Get a fucking permit, Harry. Get your fucking concealed carry. How many times have you almost been... I'm like, is this just like... But she's like, let's just keep that little extra thrill. You know?
I seriously don't get after all this
live
time
on
why
the edge.
He wouldn't have gone through the process.
Or like Murphy couldn't have...
I would think you would need one to have a PI license at all. Like,
well, no, sure, I understand you still have to apply for it elsewise. But yeah, it can't be too hard to get. And I'm not... Like, felons can't have guns, but people who've been arrested can. So like... If you're already breaking the law anyways, you might as well just get one and then have the threat of them confiscating it from you rather than...
That's true. He's only been ever, like, questioned in a couple things. And so far, I believe, none of them actually gun-related. So, yeah, right? None of that should be in question
exactly,
for, like, he hasn't been convicted of anything.
There's no reason for him to, not be able to apply and get one. He's just... And I also think maybe, like, not having the license could possibly be a reason for him to always just say, no, I don't have a gun on me. Like, whereas if he had a license, they could look him up and be like, hey, well, it says that this is registered to you.
Well,
I don't want his gun registered to his name. Right?
Yeah, that's what it is. He's got it registered. I think he's got a legal firearm. He just is always the concealed carry.
Oh, well then, yeah, bro, get your
fucking
concealed
carry. That's what I mean. He already went through all the trouble of getting a permit. He's licensed to use a firearm or whatever. He's just, yeah, not allowed to, like, tuck it in his pocket in his backpack and walk around in public places with it. And yet, that's all he ever does. So, yeah, I just love how literally, like, every book, he's like, so I don't have a concealed carry permit, so of course I, like, shoved it in my pocket and went out into the world. Just at this point, right, I get you don't always have a lot of downtime,
but
come on.
Just do the red tape, buddy.
Even, right? Like, again, you've now got buds in the police department that, well, I'm not necessarily saying Murphy would, like, grease wheels or speed it up, but you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm sure she can at least walk it through you, keep tabs on it, let you know what I mean? Like, right? Make it as painless as it possibly can be, but no. I just like to live on the edge. I don't have enough things. I'm like, let me just keep toying with the cops. Are they going to catch me this time? Nope, not this time. I got away with it again.
So inside there is a press conference happening, and Murphy joins up with them. She lets him know that because of the attack, the attendance has doubled.
And it just goes back to what we discussed, like, I think it was an episode or two ago, how if something crazy like that happens at, like, a Comic-Con or, like, something like that, everybody's just like, no, we're out of here, we're horror junkies, just, like, fucking cool, let's go.
Right. Well, I love how even just walking in, right, so he's like, here he's this, you know, big, tall, weird-looking guy carrying his big stick and his massive dog and looking, like, shady as fuck. And, like, they've actually got not just, like, hotel security. They've got, like, cops on the entrances. And the cop's like, weird guy, tall guy. Oh, name badge. Okay, cool. You're in
and out. You belong here.
Yeah.
I was like, fairness, that it, like, you know, he's like, well, apparently that gives you, I'm like, it really kind of does at these things because, again, of all the cosplay and the thing, I was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, as long as you're registered, they're like, yeah, oh, shady as fuck. Okay, you must be, it's fine.
But I will say the whole press conference, it kind of gave me the vibes from the first Scream movie after Drew Barrymore's character gets, like, killed right the fuck off.
Spoilers!
The movie, okay.
Just kidding.
You've obviously never watched my reviews, and my rule is if it is over, like, a few months old, and I spoil it, it is on you at this point.
Books are at least a year.
Absolutely 100%. I was just kidding because it's like a 20-year-old movie now. But yes.
Oh,
I'm not actually calling out for spoilers.
It's more than 20 years old now, or almost 30 years old at this point.
Yeah, same as how, like, Caesar was killed at least 3 years ago.
Was it like 96 or 97 that came out?
Something like that. It was definitely in the 90s.
That is 28 or 29. Yeah. I don't think you were here. Was I saying it on air here last time or just to somebody in general? But I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was here for that. I remember.
Yeah. I'm like, what is with the 28-year gap? Like, well, it just seems weird.
But anyway, this preference, like, kind of gives off that vibe. Like, how Butcher, he's using words like insidious and, like, just making out the press to be a bunch of fucking vultures, essentially. And I can kind of appreciate that because that's how the press is really made out in a lot of fictional worlds, not just horror.
Especially any kind of police procedural type. It's always the feds, the cops, the whatever, against the reporting world because they just fucking stick their noses in everywhere and release information too soon and do. So it's kind of funny that, like, although Harry also hasn't had a ton of, you know, great press with things.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it. I was like, maybe it's just that standard sort of, like, cops and reporters are just, like, you know, natural predators kind of a thing. It's like they almost never cohesively exist. But.
So Murphy says that Green has also called in the feds, which includes her ex / brother-in-law, Rick.
Awkwardness. So, not having read up on these before, I don't believe, right?
No.
So, yeah. So, in book 6, Murphy has, like, a family reunion that she's dreading going to just because family reunion. And mom's going to be like, why don't you have a boyfriend? And she's, like, the oldest girl. And she gets there and she sees her ex-husband, who she was married for, like, a couple of years. And then they kind of imploded because they were both workaholic cop kind of a things. And he wanted her. I think, yeah, he wanted to start a family right away and she didn't because she was building her career or whatever. And then she finds that she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And realizes that her baby sister is now engaged to her ex-husband.
Oh.
So hence why, yes, my ex-husband, my current brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's
awkward.
That's the ick factor. So Harry starts to theorize that the potential victims will be mostly minors on account of their emotional natures. But Murphy points out that Pell, who doesn't really fit that theory.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't he also explain, like, in the hospital that the Hammer Hands movies actually scared him?
That was the only one that ever scared him, yes.
Yeah. Which, yeah, it does fit the bill for why it's extreme.
Why that fear. Character was the one that attacked him kind of a thing. But it also overall, makes, he's not
I mean, as a movie buff and a huge horror geek, there are movies I won't watch again because they just scared me so fucking badly or made me so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's hard to paint a suspect if everything is open. But yeah. It does help with the whole, well, I mean, it makes you question whether the phobophages are, you know, smart that they're able to do these random attacks where there are no witnesses in a bathroom versus just anything with the highest fear gauge.
I mean, can we also just take a moment and, like, really solidify that Butcher is definitely a horror geek? Because, of course, who does he have the phages go after? Fucking hormonal teenagers. They're raging hormones.
Right?
Well, it's true, too, because in so many of these movies, like, whether it's Supernatural, Slasher, whatever, it's usually a group of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
All through the 80s, even more modern ones, one that pops to mind instantly is Tarot, which was actually a lot better than I thought, but it is a group of teenagers. They're at a cabin for a weekend, or they're college students. They're young, so you're assuming, like, late teens, early 20s. They're at a cabin, they find the cursed tarot deck, and it's like, oh, let's fuck around and find out. And of course, they get cursed with this tarot deck.
Well, always, yeah. It's always that metaphor for, you know, you do bad, foolish things, and you will get punished. So if you have sex, you're going to die. And
yeah, I'm a bit of innocence lost, too.
If you, yeah, all of those things, right? And
we've all seen those TikToks now. Okay, older adults are not abandoning their homes for a monster. You know how hard it was to get a lease here, okay? I don't care. Haunt me.
Well, and
we're so close to a school.
Right.
And I've seen, like, some skits. There's one guy with the dandy. He's so funny. He did, like, a whole, like, 20-part series, I think it got up to, and it was when it's cheaper to live in a haunted house. No. If you don't want your toys getting wrecked, stop sharing them with the Victorian ghost child in the basement we apparently now have. Or, honey, the eyeball in the sink is back. I think I should give it something because it's looking really red.
That'd be like the absolute perfect ghost exchange. They turn your like 3-bedroom home into like an 85-bedroom home because they keep like hauntingly adding it. You'd be like, you know,
Luigi's
what?
Mansion. Yeah. Oh, look, another floor just opened up.
I'm not even mad about this. You guys just do what you want. Can we get a pool?
I've had dreams like that where like it's more or less a place that I've like lived in, but then all of a sudden there's like secret rooms off it. Usually I'm trying to like move out and I just keep finding more and more and more stuff. There's just more rooms full of more stuff.
The last time I had a dream like that, I had like a whole second bedroom that was like fully decked out, furnished. It was so lovely. It was like the other side of my house. And I was like, woke up and I'm like, why aren't I utilizing that space?
Yeah, I know. I'm dying.
I had a dream like that recently too. It was like my grandmother's old house. I'm like, this house has not been around for years. We had to move them into a home, sell off the house. And I had a dream. I was in this house and I was in the master bedroom and I went through a door that was supposed to be the ensuite bathroom that they have. You go in, it is another whole ass room, but it's got like giant walk-in closet with like the cushioned little stool in the middle. I'm like, holding out on me here, Grandma. What the fuck?
Right.
I experienced that in real life as a child. When I got my step family, I went and, you know, to my new step grandma's house for the first time, and they additionally built on indoors porch onto the back of the house.
Okay. Screened in porch kind of.
Screened, yeah, whatever. Sunday. And because it was their own building, it just attached itself to the back of every single room on the back side of the house. So I was just like, you know, you just like a maze go in and out of every single room and you're just back on the porch. And I'm like, what is happening here? Every room leads to the porch.
Da 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 da.
But yes, anyway, back to what we were discussing. Yes, Butcher, absolute horror geek.
Yes.
It is. Like, he has to be at this point. I'm going to die on that.
There's some that are like, is this a reference? It sounds like it could be. And like, now that I've got sort of like the goggles on for looking for new different references, I'm like, am I overthinking this?
See, I don't know though. If I were to like try and write a, if I were to write a book and try and throw in horror references, but because I don't know any horror, what I come across is genius because it's like, oh my God, she's mixed these four different things together. Where it's like, she really doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm trying to do it things, but I'm accidentally pulling from four other things because I don't know.
So some writers do this thing called research when they actually write a book.
I understand that, but at the same time, maybe it's like Jim Butcher's like, does that come across as this one monster? And everyone else is like, oh my God, you mix four monsters together. You're such a genius. And he's like, oh yeah, right. Yeah, that was totally on purpose.
Well, it was kind of like my comparisons for like the Reaper and Hammer Hands. Like, I read it and, you know, if you like kind of have the base knowledge of horror, it's like, yeah, okay, I can see this being Jason, or, oh, this is the hammer from 13 Ghosts. But then I really look at it and it's like, no, I'm pulling like multiple fucking references here. Except Scarecrow. I can't nail that one down, and I'm actually starting to think that might be just an original idea.
I feel it's a bit like, you know, copyright infringement and stuff like that, right? He can't just name like the, so he'll just kind of describe
the fringes
that is like or very like, you know? Which is funny how that works sometimes, because I'm like, in movies, right, they're always like, If you see a can of Pepsi, it's because Pepsi is paid to have their can there. Otherwise, it's some generic cola, and they maybe will, like, put the colors, but they won't call it Pepsi, right? It'll just be because... Whereas books always have, right? He's like, oh, I just drank a can of Coke. And I'm like, it's always interesting how certain... Like, you don't have to pay royalties or whatever to mention drinking a can of Coke in your book, but you can't, you know, describe, like, a specific... You know what I mean? Like, you can't have, like, Lilo and Stitch in your... you know, like, it's just... It's... You can and you can't. Like, Harry's got a Star Wars poster.
I think that's honestly a little bit of author decision-making on just what is and isn't pulling too far out of the universe. You know, at this point, Coke and Pepsi are so mundane that it's, you know, as simple as mentioning Kleenex or, you know...
No, I get that.
Versus Lilo and Stitch is a little bit too specific. It might be pulling it a little bit too much out of the, you know, frame of your...
Well, that's what I mean, yeah, there's that, like Xerox or whatever, right? It became, like... I forget how you call it or whatever. I feel like there's a term or something, but... decommissioned trademark. Like, that you no longer... Because, again, Xerox became so synonymous just with photocopying that it became a thing where Xerox couldn't, like...
Xerox didn't want people calling it Xeroxing, idiots.
Yeah, but, you know, things like, or like even Kleenex, I think, like that. It's so synonymous with just a tissue that for the most part, yeah, people, like, you know, there's at least certain whatever for the most public speech, you can't.
I just found out that is very localized.
Yeah.
Did not realize that. I was like, we're all going around calling it Kraft Dinner. Nope, just Western Canada.
Really? Not even just all of Canada. It's a Western Canada thing. See? I always found those little quirks interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, even just moving between Edmonton and Calgary, little things that were slightly different. I'm like, but we're not even that far away. What do you mean it's not the same?
I appreciate that Harry is giving Murphy her dues and treating her more and more like a colleague. I've already brought this up, but it's very nice to be. Nope, you've seen a lot now. You've got your own opinion.
Yeah.
You've got your own.
She's like, you're asking me? And he's like, yeah, you know shit now, Murph.
And we've already had it explained, you know, for a couple of books now that she's off handling cases without him because she's learned enough on the job. She doesn't even need to call him all the time, which is a little bit. Now I understand why Harry was not telling her things, because it's like, I lose a paycheck every time I teach you something. So
right.
Keep you in the dark as long as I can.
Proprietary information. Damn it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Those pros and cons. I love that you guys can defend
yourself. Why do all these people carry around chalk now? Damn it.
Right. Like, I love that you could protect yourselves, your team, the city more, but at the same time, it also sucks for me that, yeah, I'm losing out all of that. Although, in all fairness, now I think it becomes a little bit of that. I'm so busy.
Life is so busy now. Yeah, he's like, please go handle the low-level bullshit.
Yeah, it becomes. Like, I would love to be pulling that extra money, but actually, now it's okay. I guess that's where he's traded off with his warden stipend.
Yeah.
Those guys don't have him doing shit half as often as Chicago.
He's really outsourcing. Harry never has to deal with troubles under the bridge now. He's just like, Murph.
Right? Got another one.
You got this, girl.
But yeah, he's like, yeah, you can deal with that petty shit. I got the wardens paying me and I don't have to do shit for them half the time. They just call me like once every few months and make me do something official.
It is a little bit funny though. Alphas, Murphy, Butters, figure it out.
So Harry and Murph sort of touch base on some of the details, and Harry asks Murph if he to go talk to the fire marshal.
Yeah.
Or the works in the fire department, to thin some of the stuff out. I think that's a great idea because it's over capacity.
It is. And it's funny, too, because, again, watching a bunch of The Rookie, right, it's all about the competition between, and you see this in lots of, again, cop shows where there's always, like, sort of a rivalry between, like, the fire department and the police and stuff like that. And same thing here. Like, I totally understand, and we actually had that happen at one of our Calgary expos several years back, too, where we did get shut down for a while. And let me tell you, when you've got hundreds of people that have already been waiting, like, 2 or 3 hours in line, and then you shut down that line for, like, an hour or so because...
It was much longer than that.
Day, was it? I don't remember how long it was. Was it, like, a couple, two, 3 hours?
It was, like,
hours?
5 hours by the end of it.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was brutal.
Wow, I didn't think it was that long that it was shut down for, but...
I just remember being relieved in my position and be, go make people happy. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I go hide instead.
Yeah. Can I just, but anyways, yeah, definitely effective that way. But yeah, it's just funny where he's like, do you know anyone in the fire department? And she's like, well, I have a cousin. It's like, I love that she comes to like this big, huge cop family. It's like, is this like the black sheep? You guys are all cops, but you got like one cousin in the fire department. Like, is that, like, you guys get along? Or
and why is
that,
always
like,
singing musicals?
I'm just like, why did you have to know someone in the fire department anyways? Just fucking call anyone. Like,
I guess maybe just to make it happen faster or whatever instead of just like...
Got him on speed dial.
But again...
I love that. A cousin, it's... You bring up the black sheep, like, no, I'm going to do what I want to do with my life. Right. This is not my destiny. Fireman.
Right, yeah.
Murph also says that there was nothing unusual in the autopsy.
Yeah.
But of course, that brioche was the one that was doing it, so...
I love this. You're talking, yeah, but Butters didn't get this one. So, like, damn, our man on the inside can't tell. Yes, it was vampires, Harry.
Which, just to be fair, okay, if you're specifically looking for an ME who's willing to say whether or not it's human or not human, and you're in a case of human or not human, you might want someone like Butters. We already know brioche is clearly gonna, no matter what, say it's human and normal no matter what, right?
Yeah, so again, we met Butters a lot more in book 7 and his boss, and he says it right out in that one that his boss, Brioche, his boss, loves to take, like, all the high-profile cases, right? So, of course, the big boss man has to look good, and, I'll handle this one.
And then like Butters and intentionally sabotages him.
Yeah, so we didn't meet Butters until, like, book 5, but they referenced to book 3, which was the big vampire fight, and Butters was like, I found corpses that were human-like but not human. And, of course, everyone went, well, that's not possible, and he stuck to his guns, and they put him in the psych ward for, like, 3 months until finally he was like, okay, I guess
There's no such thing as fangs.
So this is how Butters came part of their little grouping. It was a nice way to give Harry access to corpses and things when weird does happen.
And free Medicare.
And an unofficial doctor that could patch him up when he did all his weird shit and got...
Oh, so kind of like the shady vet that you see in, like, gangster movies?
Exactly. Only he's, you know... Better than that.
A little bit more qualified, except he gets a little bit queasy because they're alive.
Yeah, that's part of why he became a coroner. Was he's like, it's weird working. He's like, in like the last one or something like that, he's like stitching Harry up. And he's like, I've seen you eat lunch next to like a 3-day-old corpse. And he's like, and you're like freaking out over like giving me some stitches. And he's like, yeah, but you're alive. So
Butters is slowly becoming my spirit animal.
Oh my God, Butters is amazing. I love Butters so much.
It's really great.
Except I hear Butters and I just think of South Park.
Does this help? His name is Waldo Butters. Waldo Butters, he's into polka. He's like...
No, this isn't helping at all. Because now I'm just thinking of Butters Stodge from fucking South Park.
I don't know the character, sorry. I know like Kenny and damn it, who's the chef?
Chef.
Is it just Chef? No, yeah. Who's the other one? Cartman? Cartman. That's the other name I know.
Clearly,
I am all up on the South Park.
Okay, Darby Crane, who are you?
The movie was pretty great.
It's just not my cup of tea, that South Park. I don't know.
It was so good. Do you know that Stephen Sondheim recommended it to be the musical of the year?
Really?
Yeah, because there was everything else was just like a joke that year anyway, so. But he's like, no, this is brilliant. This should be like winning a Tony.
Maybe. But for the most part, I still just don't think it's really my type of humor. That's the only thing about South Park. I was like,
yeah, but it was brilliantly written and performed. Like, it was great.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite, like, non-horror movies. It's the South Park.
I'm not disputing. You guys can all, yeah, that's fine. I was just...
Yeah, not funny to me.
I just think it became one of those things, too, that, again, it got so much hype that I just automatically started becoming, like, opposed to it. You know, like Titanic, and, you know, there just comes a point where you're like, I don't care if it's good. I
just being contrary for the sake of being contrary.
Not even quite.
Kind of like me and Forrest Gump. I've never seen that movie in its entirety.
See? And I don't
Jess
mind
has never seen a Star Wars movie in its entirety, but knows enough she can get away with it.
Hell yes.
I just exposed you on that one.
I've exposed myself on this show before. Oh. Everyone knows I don't watch it.
That's fine. At least, like, some of the Star Wars references I have made to you over the years, like, you actually get them sometimes.
It's pop culture. I get pop culture.
Yeah, you've heard enough of the you're not blind
I've
to it.
I've slowly, like, indoctrinated, like, horror fun facts, like the Shaun of the Dead one that you came in one day and you were so proud that you remembered it because you got to share it with someone. You were so excited to tell me that
you... I didn't look like an idiot.
I was like the day I had to explain to my sister where, like, the go to the mat... I think it's what it's called, the go to the mattresses or whatever, and it's from the horse scene in, like, Godfather or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, so people was right. So now it's like, oh, you're just going to take it to the mattresses, you know? And it means, like, this whole... And I remember one time came in, my sister was like, what are you? I was like, haha, I know this.
Word etymology is so much fun.
I don't, yeah. I haven't seen it, but this is...
If you want to know the reference, Jess was so proud of knowing. Shaun of the Dead. It was an homage to George Romero. And when it came out, they did a private screening for him. Well, there's one scene where Sean's talking to his mom and his friend, I can never remember his name, yells into the phone, we're coming to get you, Barbara. That was a little, like, call out to George Romero. Went right over Romero's head.
Oh, no.
He did not catch it. And then he was asked about it. He's like, oh.
You did?
And I'm sitting there and I find it utterly hilarious.
Like, you can see them probably, like, on the side going,
yeah, they were all watching him, and he got no reaction for it, and they're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, so in the original, like, 1969, there's a brother and sister, Barbara, and
she's totally
the brother's
useless.
Name.
Okay.
Oh, she's so
useless.
She's good at fainting and screaming. That is about it.
And looking blankly.
Is this Dawn of the Dead?
No, this is Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, Night of the Living Dead, okay.
So black and white. And
yeah, I just wasn't sure.
In the cemetery, they go up, they're visiting some dead relative, and his brother is like, her brother's like screwing around with her and like trying to freak her out, and he's just like, they're coming to get you, Barbara. They've been dead a long, long time.
Stop it,
Johnny. Look, there's one now. And then there's a zombie, and that's how the movie starts. But it makes me laugh because, of course, zombie movies have been around for ages. The first one noted is Bela Lugosi's White Zombie. But what Romero did by creating this whole thing of the undead, he... like, really modernized zombies. He opened up this whole world for it, because without Romero, we wouldn't have, like, The Walking Dead or 28 Days Later or all these spinoffs on it. We wouldn't have the zombie that we would know today.
28 days, 28 mythos. Years.
28 decades.
28 days, weeks, years.
Well, the years is going to be split into three.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it. All I know is there's a lot of penis from what I've heard.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm really skeptical because I was led to believe in Nosferatu that Bill Skarsgård had a very nice frontal nudity scene. And then I looked at it and all I could think is, I hope for your girlfriend's sake you were a grower, not a shower. I was led to believe he was hung, and I'm looking, I'm like, no, the hell he is not.
So they run into Darby Crane, and this is the first time we actually get to see him, because before Nelson just went off on his own to go and find him.
He had to go pick him up from the airport.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly good-looking man. Slender, stark cheekbones, and demeanor more like an actor than someone on the production side.
Mm. Okay,
he's full of himself.
He is, and I know I, like, compared him to being, like, a Kubrick Hitchcock mix, and you definitely see it in the way he carries himself, but the way I envision him, and none of you are going to know what I'm talking about here, some of the listeners might, is the human form of the djinn from Wishmaster. Just the very creepy vibes of it.
Genie in a bottle.
No, this is the human form, and you'll see why I think he's so fucking creepy.
Okay.
Show it around.
Oh, yeah.
That guy? All right, tell the audience, who's that?
So... his name's Nathaniel in the movie. It's the human form of the djinn from Wishmaster. The djinn is like a genie. But you make a wish, it comes true, but they're very literal in a
sense.
Oh,
like monkey's paw.
Kind of, yeah. Like, you have to be very specific of what, like, you be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
The actual djinn form, like the creature, is a lot less creepy than the human form. And every time I've watched these movies, I see the human form and I'm like, ugh! This is the scariest thing of the whole movie.
Okay, well, I have to say, yeah, I don't picture him that way at all.
I do.
Which is fine. That's cool. But that is definitely not the, I get the evil grin kind of thing on him, but not the...
You and me have outside information on his genetics, so...
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. All right.
Tanzan, do you know his genetics yet?
No, I don't remember any of it. No.
I don't remember it either. So.
Of course, you won't know it all anyways.
Well, I read the entire book.
Yeah, I know, but you don't know...
Yeah, true.
Yeah. The other. Anyways. Yeah.
I'll just shut up.
The rest of the world.
No, just...
Either way, he's a dick. He's a smarmy, creepy dick.
Who knows who Murphy is?
Yeah.
And she says, oh, sorry, have we met before, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I've seen you in a video. Kate, no, that whatever he says. Yeah, wait, I saw you in a video. That's not meeting.
That gives off, like, sleazy porn director when he's just like, have you ever thought of going into film?
And I know, right?
That gives us, like,
funny you say.
But yeah, this references back to book two where the journalist, he's his ex-girlfriend, Susan Rodriguez, captures a video of Murphy and Dresden taking out a werewolf kind of a thing.
Hmm. And so, it was eventually decided it was a hoax and dismissed.
Well, because it disappeared.
While.
Yeah, it went out into the world, and then like 2 days later, it disappeared, never to resurface and be seen again. So then everybody was like, it was a hoax, it was a thing, it was a... So, yeah, and it was, like, grainy, black and white, and, of course, explained away because there was magic slinging around.
Really
so, of course, the video camera didn't work very well. And although I love this, too, when they want to go catch up with him. And she's like motioning to Harry. She's like, can you just, like, hex that elevator so we can? And Harry's like, aha.
So Harry hexes both the elevator and the phone so that he's not able to call anyone.
I feel sorry for any of the guests walking around there, too, because they would have been in that sphere. Yeah, they're all like, where's my phone dead?
I think it was this chapter, too, when I realized, like, the chemistry and tension between Murphy and Harry. Because it was just like, take that weasel. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
They make a good team, okay? They know what the other one wants, and they're on it. But yeah, Darby Crane, apparently, he was up in his room all night long. He had no idea the incident even happened until he came down this morning. So, so sorry. I'm not your man.
Yeah.
I do love how he was written. Like, how everything he does is, like, this really subtle antagonization for Murphy. Like, intentionally mislabeling
her. He's very intentional.
Her title. Yeah. And, like, telling her she should be in the...
Yeah.
Films.
Oh, look, a cop chick.
It was funny when it
You're
was
too pretty to do
cop
this.
Chick and police chick. You know? Now it's officer and lieutenant. It's like, all
so
right,
he's a bit of a fucking misogynist here.
Yeah, likes to push buttons and... Oh, I'm so sorry. Did I make a mistake? Oops. Yeah.
It's a strong characterization right off the bat.
Yeah, you hate him.
Ew.
You are creepy. We don't like
And not only that, but follows up with, but if you really want to talk, why don't we go do a private dinner for two?
Yeah, no, let me take you for a drink. Can I buy you a drink of whatever you
go
want?
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, sleazy porn director. What are you doing on the side there, Mr. Crane?
Right.
Now, unfortunately, apparently Darby Crane was able to send off a call before it got jinxed. So, hi, Glau.
Lucius Glau emerges from the stairs. He was sort of frog-faced. He had the mouth of someone much larger than he, almost grotesquely thick and wide. He had fine black hair, all limp and stringy, and someone had cut it with the ancient but trusty salad bowl method. He had bulgy, watery eyes that required extra-large, wide-rimmed glasses to properly encircle. Like, what a description. Like, and then adding the wheezy and nasal voice to it. Like,
I was about to say, this
and
guy
he's
has
a lawyer.
And he has asthma.
Right? Coconut head.
Of course he's
Jim
a lawyer.
Jim Butcher does not like this guy.
No. Well, you know, he's a lawyer. So all of a sudden it becomes pretty clear why he's, yeah, just I don't know, Dolores Umbridge in Froggy
well, it's
and
funny,
squat.
And as soon as you have the name Lucius, I'm thinking Lucius Malfoy, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's closer to the book's description of
Umbridge, where she was kind of like a froggy, the wide mouth and the whole, yeah, exactly, right. And he's so far about as charming. So, yeah.
As a wet rag?
Yeah, as Dolores Umbridge, but that too, but yeah.
So Glau mentions that Darby Crane has actually already been interviewed and now this is harassment and anything he knows has already gone through me and blah, 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 and this and that.
Jesus.
And then Darby
Christ.
Crane gets to do the whole, oh my God, relax. You're so dramatic, Glau.
You're
oh
embarrassing me.
Exactly.
Right. Let's calm down. Like,
Which is the perfect lawyer. Just be the bad guy.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Crane, like, is talking to, like, you see him as you can see right away, like, you're slimy. Yeah. And I wouldn't want to interact, but he's trying to put on like the smooth, soft spoken charm, but you're being an asshole about it. Like, you're so condescending.
Yeah. And while that probably works for him in a lot of situations, because again, you know, good looks can trump a lot of like asshole behavior and all this kind of stuff, Murphy is generally not that person. She is not so easily taken in, which is why I think that, yeah, when she, you know, hesitates over his thing, that's when Dresden's a little bit like, what the fuck? That's not like Murphy. Like, is she actually buying this? Or is she just like...
Yeah, I don't know. I take it as a play from Murphy being like, okay, I do want answers from you, but I don't know that I want to be alone with you. Or maybe if I play like the coy cop who's willing to have an unofficial interview, then maybe we can, you know.
Yeah, I took it as she's going to get answers from him later.
Like, exactly.
It wasn't really.
Well, it's just because the way Dresden comments on it,
Dresden's a little baby.
Because he's like, he goes to take her hand and he's like, and Murphy hesitated, which wasn't much like her. So, yeah, again, it just made it sound like he was kind of, like, not sure. Like, is she specifically playing this or is she just, like...
Well, I also thought she hesitated because she thought he was a fucking creep and didn't really actually want to.
Which would kind of make sense for me, too, right? I was like, yeah, I would be like, no, I don't want to take your hand.
Everything about you is slimy.
Being polite Canadian women, I'm like, I probably would.
Not me.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck that man.
I'm getting more so to that point now, but they're definitely, especially in my younger years, where even if I was uncomfortable, unless it was like something like super overt, you know, but I'm like, yeah, if somebody just was like trying to take your hand to do it, I probably would have been like,
I don't wear a name tag when I'm at Sev because people are weird about knowing my name.
Because they just want to report you all the time. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's so
every weird. One of my customers wants to report me. I think it's something on my name tag.
But don't understand it at all. My name is Jersey. But I had like, there's like this drunk guy and he's like, okay, but what's your name? And I was like, you don't need to know that. And he's like, yeah, I just want to know your name. I was like, goodbye. He's like, you're really not going to tell me your name? I'm like, see ya.
Ooh, the longer that goes on, the creepier it gets.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Ew.
But yeah, but Dresden immediately. So she does go to take his hand. And all
I don't
of a sudden
know
he's
how
like,
I crossed the carpet that fast.
10 feet in length. Half apart.
With all those people like laying on the floor behind you.
Boom, boom, boom. The enemy like rolling.
He's also got legs that are six foot tall alone.
Yeah, just like, stepped over everyone.
I don't know how I got there in two steps. But this is what I find funny. So he sticks there and he's like, oh, who's this? And he's like, I'm Harry Dresden. Because, of course, Harry does introduce himself to everybody and never plays it cool and never plays it head jabet and would always be like, he would wear his fucking name tag if he... It's actually surprising that he didn't, considering how he's, like, never afraid to back down and introduce himself.
He's wearing
himself.
The innocence and authority. But that's the thing. Someone made him write a name tag, so he's like, fuck this shit.
Exactly.
Follow the rules first, and then I introduce myself second.
Right. But this is what I kind of don't get in this situation. So immediately Darby's like, oh, I know you, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, you've heard of me. I'm like, okay, so they already did the bit when Darby first takes note of Murphy coming up.
You know Murphy by sight, but only Harry by name.
Well, yeah, but exactly. I'm like, you say he does like kind of a sweep around and then he kind of just gloss. I'm like, again, Harry has made no bones about the fact that he sticks out in most places.
Like vampires, wizards do not show up on film.
Only because they break the camera, not because they can't technically. But yeah, but he's like, and again, he says he's carrying his wizard staff around with him. He's got this, I mean, again, may or may not notice the dog in a crowd of people, big dog, but he still might be
this crowded
around.
This is like spoilers
enough,
for Tanzan and Shay, okay? As far as we know, Darby Crane is just another director, okay? Recognizing a wizard in a crowd isn't necessarily part of his job description.
No, I get that.
But yes, knowing who he is,
but just
he should recognize a wizard in a crowd.
That, yeah, it was just those kinds of things that, yes, yeah, before that, no reason for, but the second he was like, oh, Harry, then it was like, and you didn't figure out who this super tall skinny guy with the big stick was. That, like, you've heard about Harry, but you haven't heard the fact that he's like 7 feet tall. And
maybe
know?
It is, maybe this is a play then. He knows that this character Darby Crane shouldn't know who Harry Dresden is, so that's why he's all like, oh, who are you?
Maybe, but then he cops to it so fast, or he just forgets to, like, I don't know. It was just nothing massive, just one of those little bit glitches where I'm just like,
he also said that he's like laying, he's like, that Harry says that he's like laying but kind of back so he's not seen.
Well, yeah, he was
trying to hide in a crowd, but the point is that Harry can't hide in a crowd.
He just, at some point when he, you know, when they're first interacting, when Murphy first starts talking, he says something about Darby Crane kind of scanning the crowd and, like, glossing over him. So he should have, could have, again, if he was the least little bit aware of Harry, you know, again, just, this is his city, this big 7 foot tall guy with a big stick, it just, you think it might have.
But also, did he not know that Harry was just here at all in general? Poking his nose around, too? Like, your sources suck, Darby Crane. And this whole, he seemingly thinks that Harry knows who he is because he's immediately like, you can't move on me, you can't act on me, we're in a public place.
Yeah, yeah. His demeanor shifts as soon as he figures out, like, who he is. He's like,
yeah, totally sus.
He clearly thinks that Harry knows who he is, and that's why.
Yeah, you're here to get me. Exactly. I didn't do anything, man.
And the fact that Harry doesn't, and we as the audience don't know who he is, we're like, wait, who are you, actually? And then Harry's all like, oh, yeah, I haven't been on TV in a while. You're still being sued for that, bro. It's all funny jokes, but you're still being sued for
that. That's still ongoing. Now, I have heard several times of the movie, but once again, has anybody watched Sean Connery's Leprechaun movie, Darby Crane thing?
Yeah. We all stare at Shay. You watch bad movies, Tansen.
Just wondering.
I have them in my collection. I haven't watched them yet. I have a lot of fucking movies, man.
Wait.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a horror movie or anything. I don't know.
Because the only Leprechaun movie I know is the one with Warwick Davis. Because I've seen all of those.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's necessarily a horror one. So that's why I was just wondering. But again, it's one I know I have heard referenced a couple of times. And it makes me want to when I hear. I'm like, oh, yeah, I have to go see Sean Connery in like this. I want to see like Darby O'Crane or some Darby O something is.
Yeah, because if you're calling it the Leprechaun movie,
yeah,
it's not.
No, just that it has, like Harry says, that Leprechaun movie with Sean Connery.
Darby O'Gill.
O'Gill.
Darby O'Gill. It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, is it? Okay. No. I'm going to go home and, no, I'm not, because I think I'm out of dad until like tomorrow when it resets. Tomorrow I will go on and watch this.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
There we go. I was going to say, I feel like it had an O something in Darby O'Gill. Anyways, just curious. I kind of wasn't expecting, but I didn't know if anybody else would have actually.
Surprisingly progressive title for 1959.
What's the title? Darby O'Gill, The Little People.
Oh, The Little People. That's okay.
Yes. Well, they're leprechauns. That's what they were called. I don't know if it was really. I think it was just coincidentally.
We gave leprechauns respect before.
Yeah.
Right. It was already copyrighted by another series.
But anyways, yes, there's witnesses, there's blah, blah, blah. And Harry's all like, whatever, I don't care. And he's like, ha, 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 you wouldn't reveal yourself. And Harry's like, yeah, when you get back to your room, look me up.
I'm in the phone book under wizards.
Which is, again, like, how do you know about Harry Dresden anyways if it's not through, like, his phone book records? I know that the bad guy docu-Google thing exists, okay?
There's a file.
They all have a Discord about him.
Like in the Angel spinoff from Buffy, and Cordelia's looking up and she's like, oh, demons, demons, demons. Wow, they put a lot of thought into that name. Right? There's got to be like a wizards, 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 whatever.
No, but I said
like,
before that I was pretty sure Laura had, or well, not
Laura?
Laura had admitted to having a file on him.
Oh, she does, yeah.
Made up by the white court themselves, and I suggested that file probably gets passed around a lot.
But yes, yeah, exactly. It is. It's just kind of strange where it's like literally, so it's just this random name you've heard.
Do you know him or not? Literally.
But you don't know. You don't know that he's out and proud. You don't know that he's like 7 feet tall. You don't, like, you know, it's just like.
Who's really, Billy? You know Billy on the street?
No. Enlighten us.
You guys are so uninformed. It's so annoying.
If he's Billy on the street, what's Billy when he's at home?
I'm trying to think of his last name, okay?
In the sheets?
Eichner.
Oh!
You know Billy Eichner? Obviously not, but everyone listening to this knows. He does these interviews on the street where he, like, basically has, like, a famous person with him, and he goes, like, running up to them, and he's like, name three Sean Connery films right now! And they all go, oh, right in front of Sean Connery or something.
Right.
Like that. Or they'll go up with, like, Emma Stone and be like, do you love Emma Stone? And they're like, oh my god, yeah, I love Harry Potter. And he's like, fuck you! And then he runs away. And it always, like, it basically is, like, so aggressive and so fast-paced that almost none of the people realize that they're next to the famous actor or actress in the moment. And then it's right. Then they realize, and he's like, this is the bitch! And then they're like, oh my god, hi! And they're like, no, you didn't recognize him! We're leaving! And he drags them away, and you know the person is trying to do, like, good fan service and be like, hi, nice to meet you! And Billy Eichner's dragging them away. He's like, they didn't know you! We're leaving! Fuck them! They don't get a picture!
Sorry,
they don't get
you
autograph.
Said three Sean Connery movies, and, like, three popped into my head right away. I'm like, I'd win!
There you go! I couldn't! I don't know what!
But see, you're not startled. Little people, like, had she jumped out at you from around a corner and screamed that in your face, it might have taken you a second.
But like, sometimes his questions are literally just like, name three women in the world! And they're like, and he's like, any three women! And they're like, and he's like, just one! One staring at you right now! And they're like, anyways, point is...
Shock
is that
yeah?
You want to
what is your
Sean,
point?
Yeah,
that's the three Sean Connery movies, by the way, from Russia with Love, Dragonheart, and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ooh,
the very last one.
Highlander as well, just for extra kicks. Mm.
But again, it'd just be like...
The Rock.
You need to know your shit, okay? If you're not up to date on your Harry Dresden lore, you deserve to get cornered by him at a hotel.
Gotcha. I'm sorry, why was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade not in that list?
Hunt for Red October.
Because they were the first four that popped.
Crane and the Little People. It's the only
Darby
one
O'Gill.
Oh,
Darby
I don't O'Gill. Even know that one.
Because those were... Okay, first Indiana of all, Jones. Dragonheart's one of my favorite movies. Of course, that's going to pop into my mind.
Okay, fine. I appreciate the James Bond reference. That is also, but...
Thank you.
You know, I love me a little Indiana Jones, so... Yeah, so they have this big, like, throwdown, and then deadpan. She's like, so 10 o'clock at the hotel bar? Just diffuse this right now.
Oh. It was a good way to stop the
It
tension,
was. It was, like, so funny.
Getting thick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after
Time
that,
for a little bit of the ultra-violence.
And after that, when Murphy's questioning Harry, she's like, so what was that about? And Harry doesn't know. He's like, I don't know.
He's like, we almost started a fight. She's like, yeah, I got that part. Yeah.
But the fact that Harry, I don't know, if I were... able to listen in on Darby Crane's conversation right now with Glau, I would walk away from that thinking, oh my God, Harry's on to us. He knows who we are.
Yeah, where the fuck is your listening now, Harry?
Well, totally, right? But I think, yeah, Harry did come out of that fight the winner because I think Darby Crane is legitimately afraid that Harry does legitimately know who he is, whereas Harry's just like, oh, spooky for sure. Don't know what kind. He's definitely supernatural.
Spooky. So what is
blind.
He? I told you, spooky. Yeah, helpful, helpful. Thank you, fucking Harry. I don't think he's all that dangerous. Unless he is.
So he does make for a good suspect since we know he's supernatural. And he's the only one we know on the scene right now who's supernatural.
Right? Yeah, Harry's like, if it was just down to me and nothing else, I'd pick this guy.
He's a creep. He's a creep. That's the biggest part. He is ew. You're gross.
Gross.
Right. And Mouse didn't like him.
It's true.
Or his
Even
lawyer.
Further. But Mouse didn't like Molly for a minute either. So the boy's not trustworthy at this moment.
I tell you.
Unreliable canine.
Mm-hmm. Get it together, Mouse. Unfortunately, none of their suspicions are really good enough for the FBI. So back on the case.
Or even just the other, yeah.
Excuse me, Green, he gave me the chills. The creepies and the crawlies.
This concludes our episode 17.14, Eel and Frog Canapes. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing. Please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.